When you manage procurement for multiple facilities, every order matters. But when it's for a hospital system, they matter even more. Grainger gets it and knows there's no time for managing multiple suppliers and no room for shipping delays. That's why Grainger offers millions of products and fast, dependable delivery, so you can keep your facility stocked, safe, and running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Welcome. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I am your host, Todd Starnes. Your voice of truth and hope across the great fruited plain. Well, we've got a lot of ground to cover today. Moms for Liberty is going to be dropping by. Tina Deskovich is the CEO. The Moms for Liberty now coming under fire. They're being called by Democrat lawmakers terrorists. So we're going to talk to Tina about that. Also, we're excited to have with us on the radio Texas State Representative Steve Toth. He did America a favor by beating Dan Crenshaw in that Republican primary. Luke Symbol is going to be here, and we're hopefully going to have Brigitte Gabriel with us. Brigitte, one of my dear friends, and she has a lot to say about what's happening with the rise of Islam across America, the colonization of America by the Islamist. But first, though, ladies and gentlemen, we do have some breaking news to share with you.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
All right, there has been an active shooter situation at Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia. This all happening within the past 45 minutes or so. We understand at least two people were shot, and we understand that law enforcement engaged the gunman and took out the gunman there at Old Dominion University. So it appears that the situation has been contained. However, we understand from the university that campus classes are canceled on the campus for the remainder of the day. We do understand that the two individuals who were shot have life-threatening injuries. We will keep you updated on that information. So again, that's the very latest from Old Dominion. This happened, if you are familiar with the school, at Constant Hall. We do not know. We have no other information about the gunman, a motive, anything of that nature. When we do, we will bring that information along to you. We'll also be providing you with updates on ToddStarnes.com. Well, I want to bring you up to speed on a story that I've written about yesterday, and we talked about this, and some of my comments have gone viral on the socials. You know, when we talk about issues on this program, and a lot of people say, oh, well, that Todd Starnes, he's just full of hyperbole, among other things. That Todd Starnes, he's hyperbolic, that one. But it's not true, ladies and gentlemen. When I bring the issues of the day to this radio program, there is a reason for me talking about these things. And it's not to generate clicks on the social media platforms. It's not about increasing our listenership, though we do want as many ears as possible listening to this radio program. The reason why I talk in very direct terms is because I want to cut through all the noise. And there's a lot of noise out there right now in America. One of the big problems in this country now is that, unfortunately, a lot of people did not do their homework, and they elevated people like Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly, and the list goes on, as new spokespeoples for the conservative movement. And I'm just telling you, I know these people, and they are not conservatives. And as we have learned in recent days, they are becoming spokespeople for the Islamist. And that's a big problem. Because now you got a lot of folks in this country talking about how exciting it is to have Islamists running some of our major American cities. They would tell you that Christians especially are going to be better off under Islamic rule. And that is the farthest thing from the truth. But I want to explain to you what's happening in this country, because we are dealing with a clear and present danger. Let me say this again. The rise of Islam is a clear and present danger to the republic. There have been warning signs for quite some time. My very first book that became a national bestseller, called Godless America, and it warned Americans, this was back in, 2015, so 10 years ago, a decade ago, my book warned Americans about the rise of Islam. And as we have seen play out across the world and throughout world history, when the Islamists move into a country, when they invade a country, it is not for peaceful purposes, and there are no peaceful intents here at all. And history will bear witness to that and has borne witness to that. This is not about assimilating. And when you go on the social media and you hear all of you hear the Islamists talking at their mosques and you hear the imams, there's nothing about assimilation here. This is all about domination. And they want global domination. And they are getting global domination. And one of the reasons why is because people are afraid to speak out. People are afraid for multiple reasons. They don't want to offend the teachings of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Many of them have surrendered their lives to DEI, and as a result, they're going to DIE. Others, I suspect, it's just a very simple thing. They don't want to get blown up by the Islamists. And I understand that. Nobody wants to get blown up. We all love our appendages, some more than others. But all I can tell you is that this is a big problem in America. And there are no easy answers to fixing this. But one of the first things we can do is immediately stop immigration from Islamic countries. I mean, that in and of itself is very simple. So I want to give you an illustration of what I'm talking about here. There are two things that have happened in just the past, 24 hours, 48 hours. One of them happened in Newark, New Jersey, where the Muslim flag was raised over City Hall in Newark. And I want you to hear, this is in downtown Newark, New Jersey, ladies and gentlemen. And I want you to hear what the crowd was chanting as they raised the Muslim the flag over City Hall. There you have it. Newark, New Jersey has fallen to the Islamist. I mean, nobody put up a fight. Not a single person said anything. They just came in and took over. The same thing happening in Paterson, New Jersey, which in American Islam now considers Paterson, New Jersey to be their version of Mecca. Dearborn, Michigan, for example, and really all across the Detroit area, but specifically in Dearborn. And when you look at what's happening in Texas, and by the way, you Texas folks, I feel bad for you, because I know you've got a lot of Republicans at your state capitol, but most of them are really not Republicans, and most of them are not going to stand up to the rise of Islam in the Lone Star State. And I do predict that in 5 to 10 years, you are going to see the state of Texas completely transformed, fundamentally transformed by the Islamists. No doubt about that. So anyway, while that was happening, Zohran Mamdani, who is the Islamo-communist mayor of New York City and the first Islamist to rule City Hall, held a dinner at Gracie Mansion, which is the official residence of the mayor, and he invited Mahmoud Khalil. Mahmoud Khalil is the known Jew hater who President Trump and the administration have been trying to deport this guy, and yet the courts refuse to let the White House boot this guy out of the country. Remember Columbia University? He led all the anti-Jew protest there. The guy was picked up for alleged trafficking. I believe that was in Tennessee. This guy, he's a bad dude, but now he's a celebrity, and he was given a seat of honor at Gracie Mansion thanks to Mayor Zohran Mamdani. The following day, Comrade Mamdani hosted his first iftar at New York City Hall. And I'm going to do my best to describe this to you, but they got rid of all the chairs and they brought in all of these Muslim prayer rugs in City Hall. And they made everybody take off their shoes. So they're sitting around on the floor and they're chanting Allah Akbar. They're doing their prayers. They're breaking their fast by eating some sort of a Sharia compliant meal. All in City Hall, here is Comrade Mamdani.
The reason that I love Ramadan so much is for everything else that it means, for the time of reflection, the time of focus, and really a time where you understand yourself as part of something larger than just as an individual. And even just having you all here today, even just sitting on the floor, the transformation of a space that I've only ever known in one way, frankly, it is a gift. And it's a real joy to have you all here.
So there are a lot of videos, and I've got them up on my website. You can see them for yourself. What I found fascinating here is they were scanning it, and people, they had a lot of the Muslim influencers there, and one of the guys in the audience, and it was not a very large group. They were sitting around in a circle, Indian style. Can you say that? Were they sitting? Are we allowed to say that? They were sitting Indian style?
Crisscross applesauce.
Oh, crisscross applesauce. So the Islamists were sitting crisscross applesauce there in City Hall. Thank you, Dylan. I always get in trouble for just the most, you know, awkward things. I mean, that's what, when I was a kid, that's what we used to say. All right, everybody sit Indian style.
Me too.
Anyway, so they were sitting there, and one of the guys in the crowd flashes the symbol for ISIS. Which is insane because just a few days ago, you had two ISIS terrorists who literally tried to blow up conservative protesters in the Big Apple. So I want you to understand the context of all of this and what was the message. There was a message that Comrade Zohran was trying to convey to the rest of the nation. Because many of you may not realize this, but City Hall is just literally two blocks, maybe two, three at the most, two blocks away from where the Twin Towers stood. Do you understand the significance now of what happened at City Hall? In the shadows of where those two mighty towers once stood, the Islamist broke bread on prayer rugs inside City Hall. What do you think the message they were trying to send was, ladies and gentlemen? Because it turns out the Islamists were not just waging jihad on the Twin Towers on that day nearly 25 years ago, but they were also waging jihad on our way of life. And as I wrote in this book, and I do not consider myself to be a prophet, but I am a student of culture and history. And as I wrote in that book over a decade ago, if America does not wake up, we are going to lose the republic. Now, the Christians and the Jews, they turned a blind eye to all of this out of either, I don't know, ignorance or fear. But it doesn't really matter. It does not matter now because what's done has been done. And New York City is now under Islamic rule. That is what I believe is the message that came out yesterday, is that New York City is under Islamic rule. And if the country does not wake up to what I consider to be, this is a very clear and present danger, it will not be the last major American city to fall. I ask you this. When was the last time they held a Christian event at City Hall in New York City? What about a Jewish event? When was the last time they raised the Christian flag over Newark, New Jersey, ladies and gentlemen? And let me just say this, and there are a lot of people in this country, and especially the Alphabet activist community, and I know they hate Christianity, they hate Christians, and they hate the Bible. But let me say something about Christianity for just a moment to the Alphabet activist community out there. Under the Christian precepts and teachings of the Holy Bible, as well as our founding documents, you are allowed to live your life the way you see fit. You do have that choice. Now, you also have to bear the consequences for that in the afterlife, but that's neither here nor there, and that's not a part of this conversation. But you have a right to live your life the way you see fit. You try and go and live your life the way you see fit in a place like Iran or Iraq or Saudi Arabia, more likely you are going to be thrown off of a building. So to all of the Alphabet activists out there, and to the Christians and the Jews, Catholics, Protestants, you better wake up here, folks, because there will not be living in peaceful harmony here, all right? Because once the Islamists become the majority in the country, the crackdowns will begin. And it will not be pretty. And if you don't believe, you talk to any religious liberty expert out there, and they will tell you exactly what the Islamists do to Christians and Jews across the world. It's a very dangerous game, that this country and our government leaders are playing right now. All right, we got to take a break. Jeez, Lou, I had a lot to say. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hey, everybody. Todd Stearns here, and I've got to tell you about my friends at PhD Weight Loss, my very good friends at PhD Weight Loss. I'm down 12 pounds already, and at PhD Weight Loss, they've identified that one thing, and they built a plan that works with your body and not against it. If you call now, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program and pay for your food so you can finally see real results without more trial and error. If you're done with the yo-yo dieting and you want clarity, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Starnes. No more guessing, just answers. Call 864-644-1900 and say Starnes. You're going to get 2 free weeks. You can't miss out on this, folks. 864-644-1900. Say the word Starnes or visit phdweightloss.com. That's phdweightloss.com. The phone number, one more time, 864-644-1900, and say Starnes. All right, let's go right to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Gary, Daytona Beach, Florida, WOCA. Hi, Gary. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is it's pretty evident that human rights and all the screaming on the left are only reserved for certain humans. All the protests that they had for during the 12-day war with when Israel was genocide was being occurred against the Palestinians, and Trump had blood on his hands for not protecting the people in the Gaza Strip, and all the crazy purple-haired ladies in Congress were screaming but about human rights. And now with what the people that got slaughtered in Iran and the way they were running the country, no one's concerned, it seems, the corporate media, and there's definitely no protests saying how cruel the regime was.
You know, Gary, I would almost be willing to suggest, by the way, first of all of the protests that you're seeing, all of the protests against Trump, all of the protests against pretty much everything that conservatives believe in, those are all paid protesters. These are not organic protests. These are people that are being paid to get out there, professionally made signs, the whole nine yards. I would not be surprised to learn that the people behind these protests are actually pro-Islamist, which is one of the reasons why they're turning a blind eye to the freedom fighters in Iran who are being literally mowed down in the streets. Gary, it's a great observation you make. And again, it goes back to that double standard. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, everybody. Great to have you with us today. Very busy day around these parts. I want you to take a listen to this bit of audio from South Carolina. This actually happened inside the state capitol. Now, the lawmaker you are about to hear, her name is Gilda Cobb Hunter. She is a Democrat, and you are going to hear her disparage our good friends at Moms for Liberty. Let's take a listen.
TA or some Moms for Liberty, please. They are a terrorist group.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. An elected leader in South Carolina calling Moms for Liberty a terrorist group. Let's go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend. She is the Chief Executive Officer of Moms for Liberty, Tina Deskovich. Tina, good to have you with us today. And I got to tell you, it just never surprises me what the Democrats are doing these days.
You know, I really hoped we had moved past this kind of dangerous rhetoric with the assassination of our friend Charlie Kirk 6 months ago to the day that she said that from the House floor this week.
Yeah, again, this sort of language and this sort of rhetoric, and I think people need to understand, Tina, words actually do matter these days.
They absolutely matter, and Moms for Liberty has been targeted since we launched in January of 2021 with horrible names. But what this lady did is just escalated it to a new level with targets on all the backs of our 130,000 members across the country, anyone wearing a Moms for Liberty t-shirt. You know, it's shame on her, but where are her colleagues holding her to account?
Tina, I'm just curious why. Why do you think it is that all of these groups, and by the way, it's not just the leftist. I mean, you even have some establishment Republicans that really do not like the mission of Moms for Liberty.
I would say because we're highly effective and we have upset the balance of power from the moment we arrived on the scene. There's nothing more powerful than 5, 10, 100, 1,000 moms at your state capitol advocating for a specific bill that maybe big money is against or big politics is against or big teachers union is, or, you know, the big teachers unions are against it. And so we're powerful and effective. And so we've upset the apple cart, you could say.
No, well, I think that's a pretty good reason why. But again, the mission here is to protect kids, and it's incredibly troubling. And I think a lot of parents have discovered, and they especially saw this during the China virus pandemic, that those classrooms were really not teaching kids about reading and writing, so much so that they were teaching propaganda.
Yeah, I mean, our moms yesterday were at the South Carolina State Capitol, dozens of them advocating for a parental bill of rights to make sure that parents had the right, the fundamental right, to direct the upbringing of their children, their God-given right, which they already have. But we have been working hard across the country in each state legislature to get a parent's bill of rights in place. So that's why they were there, you know, not to do anything nefarious. They were meeting with legislators, doing their civic duty, educating their legislators. And so it's just astonishing that the response from a particular person, a Democrat, as you had said in the opening, was to call these moms terrorists.
I'm curious, you know, when you look at life in this country post-COVID and the work that Moms for Liberty, that you guys have been doing, have you guys seen improvements around the country as parents are starting to get engaged.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. You know, we're watching the Supreme Court now start to rule on parental rights case after parental rights case and have serious discussions about the role of parents and protecting their fundamental right. And so in 2021, when we launched, I don't know that too many people ever heard the term parental rights or thought about it or thought if it was a fundamental right or a right given to you by the Constitution or, you know, those were the discussions early on, especially even with our members, trying to explain to them that no one can take this right away from you. And we've really had great success at the most basic level of making this a national conversation in the media and state legislatures across the country and school boards and the school board races across the country and even at the Supreme Court. And we know President Trump and the White House are huge advocates. He signed our parent pledge when he was running early on in his campaign. And most of the candidates running did sign, not President Biden, of course, at the time, even though we offered. And so it's, you know, I think our most remarkable accomplishment is that everyone is now aware that parental rights is a thing, that it's under threat and it needs to be protected.
And, you know, honestly, when you look at the, I think one of the big stories of us that's been taking up all the oxygen when it comes to education are the attacks on these young female athletes. I'm not sure we would actually be having that conversation in the halls of Congress right now had it not been for the groundwork that Moms for Liberty laid, letting parents know that, hey, you've got a right here. You don't give up your parental rights when your kid walks through those classroom doors.
Yeah, that was actually our tagline when we first launched. I love that you said that. Like your rights as a parent don't stop at the classroom doors. You know, we've invested heavily, millions of dollars, I would say, and we're not a deep pocket organization, making sure parents know what's going on in their schools. And starting in 2024, we really drove home, especially in some key swing states, of what was happening with boys and girls' bathrooms and with the gender ideology or the gender transition policies and procedure and guidelines that were going on in schools. We were texting local voters. We were handwriting them postcards, mom to mom, about what they knew was going on in their local schools. And so I thank you for the accolades. There's a lot of people doing work in this area, but Moms for Liberty definitely has played a key role.
Moms for Liberty CEO Tina Deskovich joining us today on the program on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Tina, I am curious, moving forward, we're watching numbers of homeschooling families exploding across the nation, and a lot of it has nothing to do with religion. Parents are just still very alarmed at the radicalization that's happening inside these taxpayer-funded classrooms. How important is it to the mission of Moms for Liberty that we see the Department of Education dismantled and defunded and we get control of the schools back to the local communities?
Education was always meant to be handled at the most local level, and it was never meant to have the federal government involved in any capacity. So we're grateful to President Trump. That was a campaign promise of his early on to close the Department of Education. We support it 100%. It doesn't mean that we want public education to go away, but we have got to transform it. We have got to fix it. It is broken. We know that because only a third of American fourth graders can read proficiently in America. We have the lowest reading score since the 80s, since the Department of Education was established, and the lowest math scores ever in the United States of America. And so, yay for homeschooling families that they've decided to homeschool. Yay for those that have switched to private or public charter. You know, choose what's best for your child. Let's give people options, but let's improve education in America across the board.
And I think the message here is the fight goes on. And I mean, until we get control back to the local communities, we still have a country that is in danger. And I think really when you look at the public schools, and you may disagree with this, Tina, I think that is the engine driving all this radicalism in the culture and in politics right now.
No, I don't disagree at all. That's why we launched Moms for Liberty, as we were three school board members that knew exactly where this was coming from. We saw an America that was very upset at what was going on and couldn't make any sense of what was happening with Black Lives Matter, couldn't make any sense of the riots in the streets. And we knew that there was a Black Lives Matter for children, for students, curriculum and lesson plans and activities that were actually being taught in public schools across America. And we started exposing that, and people were shocked at what they were being taught and what Black Lives Matter actually stood for. So, you know, we could talk about this for days, what we know is happening in public schools. And that's exactly what Moms for Liberty is fighting.
Well, unfortunately, we've got to take a break, so we won't be able to talk about it for days. But I think we've covered a lot of ground here, Tina. And just know that you've got a huge fan here on this program. We love providing a platform for you folks. And even here locally, we broadcast this national program from Memphis, and we love our Shelby County chapter of Moms for Liberty. They have been really such a great force for good in the education system here. So we wish you guys nothing but the best. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you so much for the time.
All right, folks, we're going to have to take a break. Again, Tina Deskovich, who is the CEO of Moms for Liberty. And how important is it that we return control of our schools back to the local communities? Can you imagine what that would do to this country? I think we could right a lot of wrongs within just one decade, or rather 10 years of fixing what is broken and getting control of the schools back to our local towns. All right, we're going to have to take a break here, folks. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that telephone number, 901-260-5926. Real quick, want to give you an update on Social Security before we go to break. 70 million Americans right now, you guys are collecting Social Security benefits, but a new study finds that about 70% of you are not getting the full benefits that you deserve. Now, there's a reason for that, and it turns out that we've been able to uncover five key strategies that will help you increase, boost your Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Michael Allen is a Social Security expert, and he has a great special report. Newsmax is making it available to all of the listeners of the Todd Stearns radio show. And I want you to call this number. Get ready to write this number down, and you'll be able to get a free copy of the special report, and you'll be able to understand how you can boost your Social Security benefits. The number, 800-999-9690. Again, 1-800-999-9690. We're going to send you that information as soon as you call this number. Text and data rates may apply.
Gold and silver recently soared to record highs, then pulled back. So are precious metals still a good buy? Many Wall Street experts predict higher prices ahead. Why? Because we still have trillions in national debt, a declining dollar, and inflation that keeps shrinking our savings. Even with corrections along the way, gold remains a historical hedge for wealth protection. That's why Morgan Stanley's chief investment officer ditched the 60-40 stock and bonds portfolio and recommended up to 20% in precious metals. They're getting educated, and you should too. Call Lear Capital at 800-992-2255 for your free gold investment kit and learn how you could qualify for up to $20,000 in bonus gold. Lear Capital has over $3 billion in transactions and thousands of five-star reviews. Call 800-992-2255. That's 800-992-2255 or visit LearAlex.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, those of you that are watching us on our YouTube or Rumble channels or on our Facebook live stream, we are now videoing in our guests. So it's a sort of a new upgrade we're doing. However you listen to us or watch us, you'll have access to all of that great information. So, all right. Coming up a little bit later on today, Brigitte Gabriel, and she is fired up over what's happening in City Hall in New York City. I want to go to the phones, though. Carol, listening to us on WDUN in Georgia, joins us. Carol, what's on your mind?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Todd. I listen to you every day. You keep us American people informed. And when I heard about that flag going up and the Muslims ranting outside praising it, I'm a Christian woman, and I don't cuss, but I was about ready to do some cussing.
I don't blame you one bit, Carol. I'm telling you, there's something inside of you, right? Your blood starts to boil when you see that kind of stuff.
I want to know, isn't it, it should be a law, a bill or whatever that says only American flags above a government building and the state flag of that state. This is embarrassing around the country, around the world, of what is happening here, and it is making me sick.
Well, Carol, I hear you, and I think a lot of other Americans feel the same way you do, and they're shouting amen as you express your thoughts here. But again, it's really unbelievable that this is happening in the United States of America.
I just hope nothing happens around here, because I'm going to be right there protesting, and I hope every man out there does the same thing. We need our men to step forward. They should be out there trying to stop them from putting that flag up.
Yeah, Carol, I'm with you. It's got to stop. And again, this is only happening with the Islamists. It's not happening with the Christians or the Jews. They're not putting up our flags. They're not celebrating our holidays. This is all about forcing Islam down the throats of the American people. And the end game, as we have seen through world history, it does not end well for the Christians, the Jews, or members of the LGBT community. So everybody better wake up. We've all got skin in this game. All right, Carol, God bless you. What a great lady. What a great American patriot. She is fighting mad, as they say. And I don't blame her one bit. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. If you'd like to call in, that's 901-260-5926. All right. I've got some bad news for all you Buc-ee's fans out there. Dylan, have you been to the Buc-ee's lately?
I have. I generally like Buc-ee's. Generally.
The brisket's not too bad.
It's not bad. The breakfast is pretty good, too.
Breakfast? Is it really? I've never had the breakfast.
Breakfast. Brisket is really good as well.
All right, I'll have to try that out the next time.
Yes, you do.
The problem is they've delayed building. We were about to be in between, sandwiched in between two Buc-ee's, one in West Memphis, Arkansas, and one in Fayette County, Tennessee, off Interstate 40.
Yeah.
And they put a hold on them.
Yeah.
A little troubled by that.
Yeah.
And it could possibly be because of the story. This is from USA Today. Greta Cross. 38 Buc-ee's got an F rating from the Better Business Bureau. What's going on here?
Not Buc-ee's.
Yeah, Buc-ee's. According to USA Today, they said that Buc-ee's failed to respond to 88 customer complaints. As of March 11th, 38 Buc-ee's located in Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Texas received the low grade rating. I guess it's sort of like Yelp, and you can submit a complaint about a business to the Better Business Bureau. And here's the problem. We actually got a complaint once. I know that I was shocked. And so I went on the Better – you get this alert from the Better Business Bureau, and you go on their website, and they were raging because we were playing – or we were playing heavy metal music, and they hated heavy metal. And I'm like – you got the wrong radio station. So I get a note back from the Better Business. Can you prove that you don't play? I'm like, what? Are you people nuts? Just turn on the radio and you'll be able to hear it for yourself. So it was, and as far as I know, we still have a mark against us because we allegedly played heavy metal music, which we did not do. Not a big fan.
I don't think we've ever done that, ever.
So anyway, I understand why Buc-ee's probably didn't respond, because it's like it's a chore to get on the Better Business Bureau website to refute all of this stuff. So anyway, now they've got an F rating. I'm not yet. At first, I was horrified. I'm like, did somebody get a dirty bathroom? What's going on here?
Yeah,
that wasn't it at all.
That would probably be the worst case.
By the way, who's complaining about Buc-ee's? What exactly is there to complain about Buc-ee's?
Not much. Their bathroom, there's someone cleaning those bathrooms every 5 minutes.
You know, they're Karens.
They're Karens. Karens. They didn't like the brisket.
Hands off the beaver, ladies. Hands off the beaver. Wait, is that inappropriate to say? No, I think that's
okay. So.
All right, good.
It's the mascot.
I'm unfamiliar with euphemisms.
There's beaver nuggets there.
Beaver nuggets, yeah. Don't be touching the beaver nuggets, ma'am. By the way, speaking of heavy metal music, pastor of a church many years ago said, hey, my son's playing in a band. You want to come? And I said, sure, no problem. Let's do it. Showed up. It was a screamo band that was performing at a biker bar. Not a big fan of screamo. It takes some getting used to.
Christian screamo.
It's an acquired taste, preferably if you're deaf. All right, got to leave it there. Hour two of the big show coming up. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Great to have you with us for 3 hours of conservative conversation today. By the way, want to say a big shout out to all of our great listeners in Salem, Oregon on KYKN and also in Houston, Texas on Patriot Talk 920, the conservative blowtorch of the Lone Star State. Well, a lot of politics, a lot happening, ladies and gentlemen, in the world of politics. Want to remind you to keep working the phone lines on Capitol Hill. You need to be calling your senators, telling them to support the Save America Act. We need a vote. And quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, we need a new Senate Majority Leader. John Thune demonstrating over and over again that he is sabotaging President Trump's agenda, and we've got to do something about that. So work those phones. In Texas, meanwhile, a lot happening there. As a matter of fact, there were some major political earthquakes during the primaries, and one of those involved Congressman Dan Crenshaw, who has taken a turn to the left. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile newsmaker line and say hello to the man who defeated him. It was a major upset and a huge victory for conservatives and for common sense in Texas. Steve Toth joins us. Steve, good to have you with us on the radio show today.
Great to be with you, Todd.
You know, we had you on my Newsmax show a couple of days ago, and I asked this question then. I'll ask it again. What was it that caused voters to abandon Dan Crenshaw?
You know, if you go back to polling that we did back in May, It showed that Dan was underwater. He was 55% unfavorable in Montgomery County, 44% unfavorable in Harris County. This is before we ran a single ad, before we even announced that we were going to run against him. And I think his undoing was the fact that, you know, he quit communicating. He's lost touch, completely lost touch with his base. And it happens with a lot of these guys. They go to D.C. and they fall out of favor with the base because they're more committed, they're more passionate about being accepted by the swamp and the people in D.C., and they just quit communicating. They just fall out of favor simply because they don't care what the basic needs are of Texans anymore. And so you start gravitating towards red flag laws, and you start listening to the wisdom of Washington, D.C., rather than the common sense of your district.
You know, I hear what you're saying, and we have seen this happen over and over again. It's a unique problem, I think, to Republicans, Steve. When Democrats get elected, they're radical leftists. They're going to stay to the left, and they might even get even more progressive and more radical. And yet, right, when Republicans are elected and, you know, they're running on these America First campaign platforms, they get to Washington, D.C. I don't know if they get sucked into the Georgetown cocktail parties or what, but they always move to the left. And it is incredibly frustrating for voters when something like that happens.
Yeah, I like to use the quip that when Republicans get elected, they take office. When Democrats win elections, they wield power. And as soon as these guys get to DC, you're right, they want to become part of the cocktail circuit at the French embassy and with leadership, and they become dispassionate. Meanwhile, Democrats are crawling over broken glass to move their agenda forward. And if you look at the past 40 years, Todd, Republicans have held control of Congress for the same amount of time as the Democrats. Republicans have had the White House for the same amount of time as the Democrats. Republicans have had the Senate for the same amount of time as the Democrats. And yet we've decidedly moved to the left. Why? Because Republicans are not doing their job. They're not fighting for the things that we hold dear and true, for the things that made America great.
There's, of course, another big fight, another big political battle, Steve, and that is with the Senate primary. President Trump yet to weigh in. There's been a lot of scuttlebutt over Ken Paxton. It just seems to me that John Cornyn has defined himself, I think, based on the election results from the primary. I think the average Texan understands who John Cornyn really is. Have you made an endorsement in that race? And if so, who are you backing?
Backing Ken Paxton 100%. Look, I mean, John Cornyn has been in politics for 30 plus years. Todd, can you name something that John Cornyn has done? Can any of your listeners think of a defining leadership stance that John Cornyn has taken? I mean, other than like red flag laws and sending more money to Ukraine, can you really think of anything that John Cornyn has really taken a defined stand for? And you can't. You just can't. We need a leader. And Ronald Reagan said it in the late 60s. He said, the next generation is looking for bold, inspired leadership, bold colors, not pastels, not dreary pastels. And you look at the southern border of Texas as an example. It was bright blue. It was all Democrat until Donald Trump came along. And Donald Trump's bold vision for America and closing the border and making us a secure nation once again, that inspired millions of Democrats to vote Republican. And we're losing Texas right now because of our lack of boldness. It was only 12 years ago when Republicans were winning elections, statewide elections in Texas with 23 and 24 point margins. Now we're winning them with 6 and 8 point margins. Why is that? Is it people moving into Texas? No, 7 out of 10 of people that move here are voting Republican. We're losing our children. The next generation does not want to see Democrat-light Republicans. That's not what they want. They want to see bold, inspired leadership out of us. And that is what has always saved this republic, and that's what we need again. That's what we'll have in Ken Paxton. That's what is lacking in John Cornyn.
We are honored to have State Representative Steve Toth joining us from Texas. Steve, I know you're not going to be surprised by this, but you got to love the headline from the Texas Tribune. They meant this as an insult, I think, but I would wear this as a badge of honor. Hardline House Freedom Caucus gains ground in Texas GOP primaries.
Yeah, go figure, right? And meanwhile, Dan Crenshaw is running these ads calling me a rhino. It's just comical, right? I mean, you know, this year out of 150 members of the Texas House, I had the third most conservative voting record. Last session, I had the number one conservative voting record, according to the Rice scorecard, which is based on how often you vote with Republicans instead of Democrats. And, Crenshaw's calling me a rhino. I mean, like, dude, you have totally jumped the shark when you're calling the most conservative member of the Texas House a rhino. I mean, it's so ridiculous. There were only four people last session before last, that were designated taxpayer champions. Only four out of 150. I was one of them. And you know what, Trib, Austin American Statesman, Houston Chronicle, which, you know, the only thing that those rags are good for is lining your birdcage. I'm honored to be called a hard right by those idiots.
Well, Steve, we're going to have to leave it there. We're going to get you back on plenty of time between now and the election. And we're excited because we've had a chance to look into to your background, and you're just a rock-solid conservative, and we certainly appreciate you fighting the good fight out there. And, you know, you're willing to take a stand in the public square, in the public arena, and that says a lot in our book. Steve, thanks for joining us today.
God bless you, Todd. Thanks for letting me be with you.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Toth. All you folks in Texas, sounds like you're going to get a pretty good fighter there. Also, for our Texas listeners, as we go to break here, I'm very curious about the Senate primary race, Kim Paxton, John Cornyn. Who are you endorsing? Who are you supporting in that race? Who do you want President Trump to endorse, Kim Paxton or John Cornyn? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and great to have you with us. By the way, we are in the process of upgrading our digital and video feeds, and we've just got a great team that works here on the program. You hear from Dylan a lot, and the lovely Miss Helen, who actually answers the phones and gets you on the show, and our newest addition is Ian, who is our digital guy, who's responsible for all the video interviews that you see. So we're just blessed here with a great team, and we hope you enjoy the upgrades to the digital viewing experience. And a part of that process is actually bringing in our guest on Zoom. So welcome, and thank you for all the folks that weigh in on our social media platforms, and of course, YouTube and Rumble. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So to Seattle we go. A couple of big stories brewing out of Washington State. They've got a socialist mayor. Her name is Katie Wilson. You might remember she never held a job where she's like, what, in her 40s or early 30s, mid 30s. Anyway, she's never held a job. She relies on her parents to provide her with money so she can pay her bills. And she's the new mayor. And apparently there's a big war. There's a big war on grocery stores happening in Seattle, Washington. Now, one of the big challenges we have seen is that these grocery stores, out of the goodness of their heart, they go into these communities that are usually what they call food deserts. So a food desert is where you live in a neighborhood, a community where there are no grocery stores. And one of the reasons why there are no grocery stores is that there used to be grocery stores there, but because of rampant crime and shoplifting, well, guess what happened? The stores can't do business there. They cannot afford to stay in business. And so apparently that's been happening in Seattle. There was for example, there was a place, it was an Aldi's or Kroger, one of those stores in Memphis. And they went in there and they built a store. It was a beautiful store. They had all the fresh produce and fresh meat, whatever you needed. They were robbed blind. So when they shut down, everybody starts screaming racism. It has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with the bottom line. So maybe instead of yelling at the grocery store, you might want to yell at the moms and dads who are not doing their jobs and are raising little thugs and thuglings. So Mayor Katie Wilson in Seattle has now declared war on the grocery store chains. She says that she is going to unilaterally ban grocery stores from closing down in her city. She says that food access is a human right that overrides business decisions. This is the direct quote. We cannot allow big grocery store chains to close stores at will. No, I know she's a moron, Dylan, but let me finish here. Here's the plan. This is her plan. If a private business tries to leave due to theft, taxes, or safety concerns, the government steps in. Her allies in the legislature have introduced a bill for you folks listening in Washington State. This is HB 2313, allowing the city to use eminent domain to seize grocery store properties and turn them into government-run grocery stores. Where have we heard that before, ladies and gentlemen? Anybody remember Comrade Zoran? By the way, those city-owned grocery stores still have not happened in New York City. Mayor Wilson says it's protecting the community, but critics say it's holding businesses hostage. So I hate to break this to the gal, but she does not live in a socialist country. And I know this is a shock to the good people of Washington State, but you are not a socialist state. You're not allowed to be. People in the United States of America have something called life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Also, we have something called private business ownership. The government cannot step in and order you to do anything with your business. Well, that's the way it used to be. But guess what happened during the China virus pandemic? Can we go back in the Todd Stearns radio show Time Machine for just a moment? Back in those days, I was the only person on the radio warning you that what was happening had nothing to do with a pandemic. It had everything to do with the government conducting an experiment to see exactly how quickly you would be willing to surrender your freedoms. I wrote a book about this. Was it, not Culture Shock. It was Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? One of the first chapters, I said my greatest concern was not the pandemic, it was our reaction to it. And what did we do? As a nation, the nation pretty much surrendered their freedoms, especially small business owners. Remember the small businesses, they were ordered to shut down. The big businesses, the big box stores like Walmart and all of those folks were allowed to stay open. But mom and pop small businesses, which are the backbone of this country, were ordered to shut down. And I never could find anyone who was willing to say or answer this question. How is it that you are safer in a big box store with, I don't know, 1,000 people as opposed to, say, a mom and pop store with maybe 10 people? Nobody could ever answer that question. Nobody. So there you have it. The mayor of Seattle says it doesn't matter if those people are robbing you blind, you've got to keep your store open. Well, she's got a constitutional problem on her hands. Also in Washington State, Democrats control the state house and they have advanced their millionaire tax. Anybody making over $1 million will be taxed at 9.9% on anything above that threshold. Jeez, Lou. In response, you're going to expect a mass exodus of millionaires from Washington State. And by the way, one of them's already announced he's packing up and heading out. His name is Howard Schultz. I was going to say Charles Schultz. He created Charlie Brown, Snoopy. No, this is Howard Schultz. Howard is the former chief executive officer of Starbucks, and he announced that he and his wife are packing up. They're leaving Seattle, and guess where they're moving to? The free state of Florida, ladies and gentlemen. After more than four decades in Seattle, the guy who headed up Starbucks says, we're out of here. We're packing up. And I'm telling you, more millionaires are going to follow Mr. Schultz. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. All right, as we go to break, ladies and gentlemen, very excited for you to read my brand new book. It'll be out later this spring, but you can pre-order it right now. Go to Barnes & Noble, and you'll be able to pre-order a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Over 300 pages. It is an exhaustive book, but it's a fun book. A lot of laughter in that book. You're going to want to get a copy of it right now. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Pre-order it right now at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million, wherever you get your books. We'll be right back, everybody. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Wow, I told you, I warned you, it was a busy situation. We told you about what's happening at Old Dominion University in Virginia. A gunman opened fire there. Two people were shot outside one of the university buildings. We understand that police have, in fact, taken out the gunman there. We have no other information. But we also have more breaking news to share with you at this hour, folks.
breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
This is from West Bloomfield Township in Michigan. Newsmax now reporting that a car crashed into a Jewish synagogue. Shots were fired after the crash. Now, we understand this. There's an active situation at the synagogue. This is at Temple Israel. Police sources believe a vehicle was intentionally driven into the building. The car then caught fire. Smoke at the scene is reportedly from the car fire. Schools in the area are on lockdown. I want to read this statement from the school district. We've been alerted by the West Bloomfield Police Department of a police situation in the community. We also understand multiple ambulances at the synagogue. Temple Israel has a preschool and a large congregation. Police asking everybody to avoid the area. We will keep you updated. I want to bring into the conversation our good friend Luke Symbol, Republican strategist, great American patriot. And Luke, this is not surprising, but it certainly sounds, again, we don't have information on who did this, but regardless, it certainly sounds like a terrorist attack.
You're exactly right. And my first thought, and we do not know, again, who did this. We have no other information. But my first thought was Michigan has a lot of Muslim immigrants.
I was going to say Democrats, but yeah.
Yeah, well, got, that too. Yeah, that yeah. too. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the left partners with whomever they need to partner with. But that was my first thought. Michigan has tens of thousands of new arrivals from countries that really, really hate America. And that really, really hate the Jewish people. And so it's just yet another reminder that we need to be very careful about who we're letting into the country. And again, we don't know who did this, but it's unfortunate that that's where our minds have to go just because of what we know about our immigration policies here.
We're going to have a very uncomfortable conversation in this country. And I'll set this question up by saying we had Dr. Robert Jeffress, who is one of the most conservative theologians in America, who said, hey, look, we've got freedom of religion here. People are allowed to come out and practice their faith, right? You've got Congressman Andy Ogles from Tennessee who said, they all got to go. All the Muslims have to go. We've got to deport them all. Where do we fall here? What do we do?
You're exactly right. We do have to have a conversation. When you look at maps in Texas of the new mosques that are popping up all around Dallas, all around Houston, and we know that the central tenets of that faith are at odds with the founding principles of this country, are at odds with the Protestant Christian founders' views on what America looked like. And so you're right, we do have freedom of religion in this country, but when you have mass migration from cultures with religions that completely disagree with there's no assimilation. Either they have to give up some of their religious beliefs in order to assimilate, or they'll never assimilate. And I just am really, really tired of mass legal migration. Again, these are laws on the books, chain migration, birthright citizenship, which is a total scam. That's not what the Citizenship Clause of the 14th Amendment says. But when you look at our current laws on the books and how they are enforced, we are inviting this in, and we have to have a conversation. We have the highest foreign-born population in this country ever in the history of the country. And so we just, you know, you're right. We have to have the hard conversation. And I am one that just believes that the Muslim faith is at odds with our country's founding principles.
I'm not sure the people of New York City understand what they did in that last election. And the idea that City Hall, which is just a block or so away from, you know, from where the Twin Towers once stood, is now hosting Islamic celebrations, something that is not afforded to other religions like Christianity or Judaism.
You're exactly right. And even if you look at Iran in the 70s, when Iran was overtaken by the Muslim radicals, it was the progressive left partnering with the Muslim radicals to take power. That's what we saw in New York City. Very, very similar. It was the leftist activists and these socialists and these communists partnering together, and the radical left faction of the Democrat Party. Let's be honest here. The Democrat Party has a major issue with its left-wing flank, and they partner with these radical Muslims and to seize power. And then those very leftist groups are then, you know, if you look at what was happening to various progressive groups in Iran, murdered. And so we have to talk about this. And a lot of these folks, a lot of these Muslims are not shy about saying they plan to take power in this country. They plan to, it is part of their plan to organize and to take over, to get elected and to change this country. And so we have to talk about it, and it's very disconcerting and upsetting, and it makes me want to move, buy some land in Montana, and go live off the grid.
Well, I don't think you're the only person to wish that. Luke Symbol joining us here in studio. Luke, a lot of political maneuvering over the past, 72 hours. We understand that Republican lawmakers were told, ease up on the immigration talk. Let's back away from mass immigration. Let's get back to just deporting the really, really bad people. That tells me that the administration is, they have to be conducting internal polling. The polling data is not, they're not polling well on that issue. And also, it has to be an admission that the administration of DHS under Christine Ohm was an abject failure.
Yes, I think certainly the messaging. And look, we knew that this was going to happen. We knew that every local news, you know, channel owned by a big corporation, the lamestream media, we knew that they would be pedal to the metal finding these obscure cases of, you know, the immigrant mom crying because her son is being deported, or the whole family's rounded up. We knew that they were going to do this. And what's really unfortunate to me is I think President Trump reset the narrative with his State of the Union speech, and it was fantastic. We seized back the narrative, and what I felt, and you can disagree with me on this, but I feel like this Iranian conflict has just sucked all the oxygen out of the room. It's all anybody's talking about, and now we're losing the narrative again on these issues that really matter to people at home. And I don't want to lose sight of, we need to care about the everyday kitchen table issues for Americans first, and they may not really care about what's happening across the ocean.
I haven't heard many people calling into this program saying that this, you know, that war with Iran is on the top of their agenda list of items they wanted Trump to handle. Now, regardless, the average American is not privy to whatever intelligence the president and the administration have. I will say, in years past, that intelligence, not very reliable. Consider what happened in Iraq, for example. Right. But regardless, here we are. Apparently, a couple of container ships, maybe one filled with oil, an oil tanker, were hit. The Straits of Hormuz, a very dangerous situation there. I'm not sure this is going to be, I mean, it may, you know, they may make it a 4 or 5 week war, but I don't think much is going to be resolved.
You may be right. And I think it is extremely important for the president to get out quickly, to have the narrative that, yes, we did what we needed to accomplish, right? We need Caroline Leavitt to be really strong. Her talking points are in order. And then let's completely shift back over to affordability. We were winning on that issue. Let's talk about affordability. Let's get those gas prices back down. We know that gas has skyrocketed since the Iranian conflict. Let's get those gas prices back down. We were really, before this Iranian conflict, we were really poised, I think, to do well in the midterms. Historically, we were supposed to lose. There were some predicting it would be a bloodbath. I was predicting, no, we're winning on a lot of these really important issues, the kitchen table issues, again, that folks talk about when they're at work with their colleagues, but things that folks talk about at the kitchen table or at the dinner table with their families. Let's get back to focusing on those issues.
All right. We do have some breaking news to share with you, ladies and gentlemen.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
And the FBI is now confirming they have agents on the scene. They are responding to an apparent vehicle ramming and an active shooter situation at Temple Israel in the Temple Israel Synagogue in West Bloomfield Township, Michigan. He also added that FBI personnel are working with parents. You say, why parents? Well, this is, for those of you in the southern states, you're familiar with the term mega church. This is a mega synagogue. It is a massively large synagogue. They have a preschool, and it appears that the preschool may have been targeted here. We understand that Mallory McMurrow, who is the Michigan State Senate Majority Whip, writing on X, I believe this is in her area, urging people to stay away from the area and listen to the direction of first responders. But again, active shooter situation. There was an intentional car ramming of the synagogue. And this is an incredibly large synagogue that also operates a preschool in the area. We're going to take a quick break. We've got Luke Symbol with us, and we will be following this breaking news, your reaction to the breaking news as well. May I just recommend, and again, we don't have any other details right now, but perhaps we ought to be saying some prayers for our Jewish friends, our fellow countrymen who are Jewish, that may have children in that synagogue. Pray for the children and pray for the first responders as they deal with this situation. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And this show has taken a very dark turn. In the past just 20 minutes or so, we have learned of an active shooter situation at a synagogue in West Bloomfield Township, Michigan. We understand a motorist slammed into the Temple Israel Synagogue, then opened fire. The building appears to be on fire. There is smoke. We have full coverage, including video from the scene, at toddstarnes.com. I would encourage you to go to toddstarnes.com, and we're going to be providing live coverage on our digital spaces as well. Here in studio, Luke Symbol joining us. And Luke, I want to go to the phone lines. We have Harold listening to us in Ohio on 97.7 FM. Harold, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I'm a Baptist preacher, and I just want to say we should never legalize Islam in this country for the very reason that, you know, I'm all for freedom of religion, but when any religion says to their followers, you can go out and kill anybody that doesn't agree with us, behead them, and you'll get to paradise, that's absurd to even legalize something like that. It's like taking a bunch of rattlesnakes and dump them in a neighborhood full of normal people walking around saying that those rattlesnakes have the right to take up as much space as a human being does. Their law tells them to kill infidels, to get, you know, I don't care if they call themselves moderates or whatever. And the politicians that will legalize any outfit coming into our country under the guise of religion that tells their followers they can kill everybody, slaughter them and everything else like that that don't agree with their moon god, Allah, is they're crazy. They're turning loose like wild animals on people. And so what that politician that wanted to get rid of Islam altogether, you know, that's about the only way you're going to save America, because once these people start taking over,
yeah,
they demand complete control. They don't want to coexist.
No.
With
there is no coexisting, Harold. You're right. This is full and complete assimilation, bending a knee to Islam, and that's what we're talking about here. Harold, thank you for calling it. You're a very wise pastor, and I appreciate your views there. You know, again, Luke, the concern is we don't know what came across that border during the Biden administration. We understand tens of thousands of sleeper cells may be operating in the United States, and we hope and pray this is not the start of something more.
You're exactly right, and it's unfortunate when you don't have information that this is the first place our minds have to go to. It is the rational, common sense place for our minds to go to when you know that we have hundreds of thousands of immigrants in this country from places who want to destroy our country, from places who that teach their people to hate us. And it is time we get smart. It is time that we do what we have to do. I don't have any faith in the Congress, but President Trump does have emergency powers. And, you know, there's a reason they called it the so-called Muslim ban in the first administration when he restricted immigration and travel from specific countries. Again, these are from backwards cultures that teach their people to hate us. And I think we need to continue to look at it. We don't know who perpetrated this. There are a lot of crazy people out there. There are a lot of crazy leftists. There are a lot of violent folks who want to take out certain political views or take out certain there's Jew hatred in this country, unfortunately, and we're importing a lot of it.
Well, again, someone had some video that they were shooting on a subway car. Somebody started shouting Allah Akbar over and over again, and the first instinct was to run.
Yes.
When someone says, you know, I don't know, shalom or praise the Lord. That does not happen.
Right.
And there's a reason for that visceral reaction. When you look at what happened in Austin, Texas, the guy with the Property of Allah shirt opening fire on the young people. You look at what just happened in New York City a few days ago, where you had members of ISIS from Philadelphia wanting to blow up conservative protesters. You now have to wonder what exactly is going on here.
And you have to wonder why the lamestream media doesn't report on it or reports on it so lightly. When you look at the amount of time they devote to made-up things like unarmed black men getting shot versus, you know, radical Muslim immigrants killing Americans, the disparity in time is just completely unacceptable. And that's why social media like X is so important. That's why talk radio like this is so important, so that we can respond in real time and have these conversations.
And we're certainly praying that everybody is okay here at the synagogue. We haven't heard any reports of casualties, and let's just hope and pray that we've got a good report coming out of here. But we can say the reporting on social media, all Jewish organizations nationwide have been urged to go into lockout protocol out of an abundance of caution after this active shooter at the synagogue. This, again, is why, you know, we're going to have a very hard conversation in this country, Luke.
You're right. And I work out at the local Memphis Jewish Community Center. I do not, I'm not Jewish, but I work out there. It is close to my home. It's filled with wonderful people. And they have to have multiple armed security guards at all times because of the threats against just the community center. You can't even work out in peace. It has, you know, a daycare there. They have to be so careful with security. And I'm sure that this synagogue in West Bloomfield, Michigan, this is a very busy, packed suburb of Detroit. It is an important suburb of Detroit. I'm sure that they have the same type of security, and I am praying that security was able to respond quickly and take out this terrorist.
Absolutely. All right, Luke, good to see you, my friend, and thanks for helping us out here with the breaking news coverage.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, folks, we are going to take a break. We're going to have the very latest on this active shooter situation at the synagogue. Also, the very latest from Old Dominion in Norfolk, Virginia, where a gunman opened fire on campus earlier today. We're going to be getting your reaction to this. I know a lot of you are angry and you're frustrated. We want you to sound off 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Head over to ToddStearns.com. Our team posting all sorts of video and information from the scene. We'll be right back. Hour 3 coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we are in breaking news mode at this hour.
Breaking news now on the Todd Stearns Show.
All right. Want to give you the very latest to coming out of this Detroit area suburb of West Bloomfield, Michigan. Within the past half an hour, we have received reports of a motorist ramming a vehicle into a very large synagogue, Temple Israel, in West Bloomfield Township. We understand there is a massive police. I have never seen so much of a police presence. FBI personnel already on the scene. This coming from FBI Director Kash Patel. Now, this is what we would call a mega synagogue, very large. They have a preschool. Now, NBC News is reporting that all the children at the preschool have been moved out of the building. There is a lot of smoke, so we don't know if there was a fire. We don't know what that is all about. But as we are chatting now, we can tell you there are no known fatalities, which is amazing news. We do understand that the temple, and you heard Luke Symbol mention this in the last hour, surely they had security, which they did, and security responded immediately and engaged the shooter. We understand the shooter is on the run. The shooter is not in custody at this time. There is also a shelter-in-place order for at least a mile around the synagogue until they can figure out what the heck is going on. Now, Temple Israel is a large congregation of Reform Jews. They call themselves the nation's largest Reform synagogue, accounting for about 1% of the entire Reform movement in North America. 12,000 members is the information we're getting, and they're about 40 miles from downtown. A lot of very frightened people today, but right now we're just so blessed to tell you that no children were injured. We're not hearing of any casualties right now in this. They're not calling it a terrorist attack, but that's just a matter of moments. I'm sure we'll hear that information. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, a dear friend of this program. She is one of the nation's top security experts. She is the chairwoman of Act for America, Brigitte Gabriel. Brigitte, I know we were going to have you on to talk about the situation in New York City, which we'll get to, but thank God the children are okay in Michigan.
Thank God the children are okay, and my heart goes out to the Jewish community who feels such persecution right now nationwide. It doesn't matter what state they live in. The rise of anti-Semitism in America and around the world is so concerning and frightening to know that somebody wants to kill you simply because of your faith, because of your religion, whether you practice it or not, by the way, because, you know, a lot of Jews are traditional Jews. They don't even practice, you know, they're not like the major practicing religious Jews. But right now, thank God, none of the children are hurt. We await to hear the reports. And I believe, Todd, that this synagogue has been attacked before. I think like 10 years ago, I remember an attack on this synagogue. So this is why it's also important when people say, if you see something, say something. This is where citizenry, the in open-eyed citizenry, it's better safe than sorry. If you see something out of place, if you see someone behaving suspiciously, if you see someone who has changed their regular behavior, contact the authority, call the police. You know, do not feel like you're judging people. I know on our side, Todd, you know, we are all, you know, people who come from the Judeo-Christian world. We believe do not judge others lest you be judged. People always want to think the best in other people. But if you see something out of place where your instinct says, this is not right, something doesn't look right here, call the authorities, call the police. Better safe than scared. Better prepared than scared.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. And folks, we'll keep you updated on whatever developments are coming out. But again, this has been the concern, Brigitte. We've heard from lawmakers, President Trump himself, saying there are sleeper cells all over the nation. The president says they know where they are. My question to the president is, then why aren't we arresting these people and taking them into custody?
Because they haven't blown themselves up yet. This is the problem. You know, in America, you are innocent until proven guilty. So going to ISIS websites and looking at video does not make you a terrorist until you commit an act, which is like the two guys that tried to commit a terrorist act in New York over the weekend. They were not even on the radar. They were not even in our database. Yet you have your regular, typical American teenagers born and raised in this country who have the same rights, by the way, that you and I have, yet here they were radicalized online, and until they carried that attack and they were bragging about it, by the way, they were so proud, and they didn't think the Boston Marathon bomber did enough with that bomb. They were hoping to do more, you know, until they did that, they were not even on our radar. But the thing is, right now, we're not going to see major attacks like 9/11. You're not going to see cells organized to be able to carry a major, major attack. What you're going to be able to see is what we saw the last week in Austin, the two guys in New York, like probably today, what we are watching right now develop in Michigan. You're going going to see more lone wolf attacks. These are going to be somebody who's going to take it upon himself to sacrifice himself to become a martyr because he is fighting for Islam, and he's going to ram whether his car, his Jeep, blow himself up or take a gun and start shooting at innocent people in order to avenge the Muslim nation or the Islamic Ummah. Those are the type of attacks we're going to see, and that's exactly why the FBI issued their commercial, their ad this weekend saying, if you see something, say something and speak up. And all I can tell you, Todd, is thank God we've got Kash Patel as the head of the FBI, because we now are dealing with an FBI that is very different than the FBI under Obama or the FBI under Trump.
Yeah, no, Brigitte, I think you're absolutely right. And again, for me, that's more scarier than a 9/11 style attack, is when you could just, you could be in Memphis, Tennessee at you know, Graceland, and all of a sudden somebody opens fire. I mean, and that's what they want you to fear. They want you to live in fear, and we just can't do that.
Well, that's exactly what they want. And you know what? It's so sad that we have ignored the problem for the last 20 years in our country, that we are in this situation, Todd. We didn't get here overnight. Biden, in the last 4 years alone, when he was president, allowing millions of people to come into our country who despise us, who hate everything about us. They want to come to America to siphon off of America, yet they do not share our values. And actually, they are proud hating America. Look at Ilhan Omar, who came to this country as a refugee. We took her in. She went to American schools. She became an American citizen. She ran for Congress. She got elected. I mean, she is living the American dream. Yet in the same breath, she hates our country. She badmouths our country. She stands with our enemies against us in our country. And, you know, this did not happen overnight. We have allowed them to come here and get to this point. And that's why I stand with President Trump and his leadership team in provoking visas and stopping visas to those who want to come here who hate us, or kicking out the students who stand with our enemies, like all these students who were here on student visas, who stood with the Hamas after October 7th and all these terrorist organizations, and basically deport anybody who is in this country who is not on the same page with us, who are not contributing to this country, but actually sabotaging the country. We're going to get to this point as a nation where we're going to say enough is enough. We do not want these people here, just like what some European countries are doing right now. That's when we're going to be able to secure the country.
Brigitte Gabriel joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. She is the chairwoman of Act for America. By the way, folks, we're getting word that the gunman is believed to be dead. He was engaged by security forces at the synagogue. And again, it's a reminder, if you are a church or a synagogue, you need to have a professionally trained security team guarding your houses of worship. And thank God for those great security officers. It sounds like they saved a lot of lives today. Now, Brigitte, I want to switch gears to what we saw. Go ahead, Brigitte. I'm sorry.
Yes, they did. And this is where, again, Todd, I want to emphasize citizen engagement. This is where we as citizens of this country need to come together and work together to protect our own local community. There is nothing like members of the community coming together in a group and where they get to know their police officers, their chief of police, where they can be the eyes and ears. You know, in every community, they have the community watch, you know, where you have the citizens in the neighborhood keeping an eye on the community. And that's why we at Act for America, I encourage people to go to actforamerica.org and click on join us. Start a chapter in your community. Start a group in your community. I'm proud to tell you, Todd, that in the last 10 weeks alone, we started 225 groups in 42 states. These are American patriotic citizens coming together in their community community, forming a group, getting to know each other, getting to know people in their neighborhood, organizing their community, getting to know their city council members, getting to know their chief of police, inviting speakers like that from their city council members, and organizing to make sure that the police is funded in our community. Because remember, city councils decide what votes on whether or not to fund your police or defund your police. So it's so important now more than ever for citizens who are concerned about the safety and security of our communities to come together, start a group, and start working together to secure our communities. Go to actforamerica.org right now and click on Join Us.
Real quick here, before we let you go, Brigitte, I wanted to get your reaction on what happened at City Hall in New York City, where Mayor Mamdani brought in the prayer rugs, had everybody take off their shoes, sitting around in a circle, eating food on the floor. People were, some were chanting Allahu Akbar, and then one of the guys actually flashed the ISIS symbol. What say you?
Well, in the Islamic religion, symbolism is everything. And so what Mamdani is, the message that Mamdani is sending to all Muslims in the United States, as well as Muslims who are going to be reading about this, because all the Muslim nations are going to be bragging about this, how Islam is being respected. This is how it's going to be reported in the Islamic media, how Islam is growing and it's being respected in America. And now we have a mayor of the America's largest, more influential city, where they are sitting together, breaking the iftar and saying Allahu Akbar. This is where elections have consequences, and this is where the citizens, especially Republicans who stay home and don't go out and vote on election day because they think, well, forget it, I'm not involved politically. These are the consequences we are dealing with. It's a disgrace, and especially in New York, you know, for those who died on September 11th, what a disgrace that 25 years later, we are watching these images right now coming out of the mayor in New York.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. All right, Brigitte, great information. I know we're going to be joining you tonight on my Newsmax show. We look forward to continuing the conversation. Thanks for hopping on the radio show and playing along in our breaking news coverage.
Thank you for having me with you.
All right, Brigitte Gabriel, everybody, chairwoman of Act for America. And we encourage you folks, check out Brigitte's work. She is a great patriot. Dylan, I know you've been following in developments. What you got for us?
Yeah, I have a little bit of audio for from Fox News, just informing us that the security guard was the one that actually took down the shooter.
So. Wow. All right, let's take a listen.
Speaking of which, we're getting an update from the sheriff, Nicole. Brand new info per Oakland County. The sheriff there saying that security at the temple saw the gunman and engaged him at the temple. They said no one confirmed to be hurt at this time. Too early to connect this to terrorism, says the sheriff, and we could be getting playback of the sheriff sometime soon here. The suspect is not in custody. So they are right now looking to see if there's more than one suspect, but they are telling people within a mile they should shelter in place. Everyone has been moved out of the school. That is the update from the sheriff there in Oakland County, Nicole.
All right, there you go. That from our friends over at Fox News. Right now, here's what we know. No confirmed casualties. Suspect not in custody. There's other reporting that the suspect was shot and killed by the security forces. The sheriff says it's too early to connect this to terrorism. Well, keep in mind, they're still waiting to call what happened in Austin, Texas, terrorism. So you can figure that out for yourself. Also, just want to give you a heads up. The local Jewish community now telling all Jews in the Detroit area to go into lockdown. So we've got that bit of information as well. All right, we're going to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Well, certainly some good news, and yet still very unsettling what could have been at this synagogue. All of the children are safe, and they're all accounted for. They're fine. We can tell you the Detroit News is reporting that the guy was driving a pickup truck, rammed into the front door of the building and opened fire. This is a huge, huge complex. The shooter is dead. According to a source talking to the Detroit News, CBS News reporting the same as well as NBC News. You might recall in Toronto alone, three synagogues so far this month have been hit by gunfire. So they're not willing to say that it's terrorism just yet, but all we can tell you is that the gunman there is dead. We're still waiting for more information on what happened at Old Dominion University earlier today when a gunman opened fire. Two people shot there. The gunman was taken out by police. What is the lesson here? Well, folks, if you are a law-abiding gun owner, you need to, and you've got all your permits, you need to be packing heat wherever you go in public, because you just never know. You never know when somebody is going to open fire and somebody is going to do something like this. And especially, as President Trump said, they've got all of these, they know where all these sleeper cells are. We've got a lot of people that are wanting to hurt all of us. My only issue there is, if we know where the sleeper cells are, we need to be taking those people out before they do something. And it just seems to me, that's like common sense to me. But again, this is where we are, folks. Just crazy. And going back to what we said at the very beginning of the program, we're living in a very dangerous world right now. And if this will become the new normal in America if we do not rise up and do something about this. And the question is, what do we do? What do we do? All right, when we come back, we've got an update on the Save America Act. They're saying now it stalled in the Senate. So we'll take a look at that. Also, Joy Reid says she's located the real-life Wakanda Forever. We'll tell you where that is. 901-260-5926, your reaction to the breaking news. We'll take your calls coming up next. All right, welcome back, and let's go live to West Bloomfield Township, Michigan, where the sheriff is speaking to reporters. Let's listen in.
Okay, so again, this is all going to be super preliminary stuff, and anytime you have a situation like this, information changes and evolves. Here's what we know so far. A car came to the facility, breached the facility by driving into it, was engaged by security. We believe there is one individual deceased in the vehicle. It's been complicated because there was some fire, to say the least, with that vehicle. We believe that individual is deceased. No kids, this is the important thing, no kids or no staff was injured whatsoever. Okay? So we have no victims other than one of the lead security people was hit by the car and was taken to the hospital for treatment. That individual should be okay. So far, that's our information to this point. We have agencies from all over. Obviously, AETF is here, FBI. More than likely, we'll be taking the lead on this based on some of the preliminary investigative information we have, but we're not going to go into that at this point. But we want to assure the community it doesn't appear to be anything active. We're still clearing the area. We're going to clear vehicles for any explosive devices, the building, etc. Unification of the families and the kids are in progress. We've accounted for everybody that we believe was in the building at the time. So we're to continue to maybe pivot to, is there anybody else involved, and the investigative side of what's happened.
And so you can confirm that it was security that shot and killed the suspect here?
Well, we can't say what killed him at this point, but security did engage the suspect with gunfire.
Did the suspect have a weapon?
We can't get into a lot of that stuff, but breached the building, drove down the hall, and he was engaged by security.
So do we know this being a fire shot?
preliminarily we have some information, but nothing that we confirm, so we're not going to go into it. He drove in through doors with a vehicle.
There's only one person in that vehicle?
That's what it appears at this point.
What do we know about this fire?
Something ignited in the vehicle. That's a work in progress. We're, through an abundance of caution, clearing the vehicle for IEDs or any explosives. We've got a significant number of bomb dogs on site, bomb techs on site, and all of that's going to be done to check the boxes. We have deployed resources all across the county, just in case, out of an abundance of caution, that there may be a secondary site, but we don't have any information at this time to believe that. So we want people to take a breath. No one was hurt. We're on top of it. The chief and his team got here fast. Everything that was supposed to happen, happened. Security did their job, and then the responders did theirs.
Was it a Michigan vehicle?
Sheriff, what did the call come out as?
I believe it came out as an active shooter.
Where and when did you actually neutralize
the gun? The vehicle's in the hallway of the building, inside the building.
Wow.
Again, I can't tell you what he died of until we get a little further. We haven't actually gone into the car, so it's still being cleared.
So we did know that the security guard shot this
They shooter,
shot at them, but it's unclear if he was killed.
Because,
by
you know, in situations like this, you never know. If somebody's trapped, sometimes they kill themselves. So the suspect was engaged.
Was it the same?
It's the clearest sentence I can give you.
What is the condition of the
From information I got, he should be okay. He was knocked unconscious.
So it's a different security officer who fired the shot.
There were multiple security officers on scene. And the one that was hurt was pulled from that area.
All right. Let me jump in here. You were listening to the sheriff giving a blow-by-blow, doing a really good job. Well done all around. We understand the domestic terrorist and... I feel comfortable calling this terrorism because people were literally terrified in that building. We don't know whether or not this was radical Islam. We will find out once they figure out who the driver of that truck was, who has now been, fried to a crisp, apparently. So there you go. All's well that ends well there in Michigan. Now, my question to you, I know we have a lot of people that listen to this program that go to church. Does your church have a security protocol in place? It seems to me that is going to be something that every church, every synagogue in America should be considering if you haven't already done so. I know in the Memphis area, for example, we have a very large Jewish population here, and I can't help but notice on Saturdays there is very visible security outside every synagogue in Memphis, Tennessee. And it's just an important thing to do. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So we are following other developments in our nation's capital where there is pressure being put on the Senate to get the SAVE Act across the finish line. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Had a chance to sit down with Congressman Greg Stube out of Florida on my Newsmax show, and we touched on that issue and a few others as well. Let's take a listen. Congressman, good to see you. And, of course, you served in Iraq. Do you get the sense that Operation Epic Fury is quite different from some of the other battles the military's fought over the past many years?
Yeah, I mean, Hegseth was pretty clear right there. The president's been very clear this isn't going to be a forever war. It's been very strategic and pinpointed of the attacks. Obviously, cruise missiles and aircraft have been going in and targeting things. We have complete air superiority now, so there's no reason to put boots on the ground. We can send assets in and attack the targets that we need to attack. And if that's what the president's mission is in Iran, to do away with their ballistic missile program, to do away with their drone program, to do away with their nuclear program, we can all do that through the air very quickly, very easily. We have air superiority and nobody's challenging that in the skies right now. Their entire Navy is at the bottom of the sea. So I don't foresee the things I've seen reported and what has been said is they're ahead of their timeline. So hopefully that's the case, and we can bring our ladies and our boys back very soon.
I know senators were briefed on Operation Epic Fury today. We understand a Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal telling reporters, quote, "We seem to be on a path toward deploying American troops on the ground in Iran." Do you believe that is a possibility? Is that what you are hearing?
I haven't heard that at all. I don't believe that the comments that the president and the secretary have made have ruled that out, but I don't think the American people really want our sons and daughters over there on the ground when we have air superiority and we have the ability to go in with aircraft and drones and missiles and submarines and all the things that we've already been doing instead of putting boots on the ground. So they've already taken out a lot of their leadership. They've taken out a lot of their assets, like 80% of their missile production has been destroyed, all these different numbers. So I don't know how much longer we're going to be doing strikes, but I have not heard anything from the White House as it relates to putting service members on the ground over there.
Now, when we talk about threats, we've got to talk about what's happening in this country as well. ABC News is reporting that the U.S. has intercepted encrypted communication believed to have originated in Iran that may serve as a trigger for sleeper cells in this country. Now, I'm wondering, first of all, have you heard whatever information you're getting, have you heard that there are sleeper cells operating here in the United States?
I mean, I haven't heard that specifically, but I certainly wouldn't doubt for a second that they aren't. We saw what just happened recently in New York, where there was basically an IED this individual was trying to detonate at a protest. And so, obviously, you had the shooter in Texas that just went into a nightclub and started shooting people and had an Iranian T-shirt on underneath. So, certainly, you're going to see those type of individuals that are already in our country, no thanks to Joe Biden and his open border policies, where we have millions of all these people in our country and don't know where they are. It was like over 600 known terrorists that came in on the watch list, and they let them go. They're in our country somewhere, and this administration under President Trump's leadership is having to get them out. So it would not shock me at all. And the overarching thing over all of this that is very problematic is the Department of Homeland Security is currently not funded because the Democrats are refusing to fund Border Patrol, INS, our Coast Guard, our TSA, all the people that are supposed to be protecting our border from people like this. And they're going without a paycheck right now. So it's very important that the Democrats, well, this is another reason why we need to nuke the filibuster in the Senate. Why should we have to go to Chuck Schumer to fund the federal government when we have the majority in the House and the Senate, and we have President Trump in the White House? Do away with the filibuster, get our DHS, our Homeland Security Agency funded, and protect the homeland.
You know, the American people, and I hear these calls every day on my national radio show, Congressman. I know you've been a guest on that show. People are pissed off at the Senate right now, and they wonder what in the world is going on here what's going on with John Thune? Why won't he do what the president wants him to do on this?
Well, he's hiding behind the votes that he needs on the filibuster. So I'm assuming that's Mitch McConnell, Susan Collins. I guess you said that Lindsey Graham had said that he doesn't support doing away with the filibuster. So the president needs to pick up the phone and call these people. The only way all of these great reforms and policies and things that we need to save our country pass is if the filibuster gets removed. Now, what some of those people will say, well, if we do it, the Democrats are going to do it and we'll have all these parade of horribles. Well, they tried to do it in 2021, and the only way that it was stopped was Manchin and Sinema. Both of those people are gone, and you don't think that Chuck Schumer's going to try that if they have the Senate again and they have the White House? Absolutely they're going to. We have to put in place the SAVE Act to protect and save the integrity of our elections. You have illegals voting in California and New York. You have all these different states that are doing things. I had to go, just a couple days ago, I had to show my ID to buy a can of spray paint at Home Depot, but they're standing in the way of allowing only citizens to vote in our elections and having to prove with a voter ID. It's 95% issue in Republicans, even 80% of Democrats support it. Just nuke the filibuster and get it done and protect our elections.
Dylan, I'm curious. How do you feel about these robot delivery things?
I've never encountered one yet, but they are a little, they're kind of funny, actually.
They sort of creep me out. And again, I've seen all the Terminator movies, so I'm always viewing robots and AI through the lens of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That might be, that's probably accurate, actually. actually.
So apparently, and by, we're not talking about the, what the drones, right? For like some of the, I think Amazon or Walmart, one of them actually has a drone, and they'll just dump your groceries on the front yard.
Much, yeah, this is different than a drone. This is like a robot.
You see, right. So this is like, and they're called Cocos, and they're four-wheeled delivery robots. And right now they're operating in Los Angeles, Chicago, and Miami, also Helsinki. I don't understand why. That's a little odd, but whatever. So anyway, and these little delivery robots will, you know, bring you whatever you order. They're like 50 to 100 pounds. And they're run by, you know what they call the people who operate them? They're run by remote control. They're called Coconauts.
That's clever.
It kind of looks like a human. It's got like a little eyeball. It sort of like has eyes.
Yeah.
Have you seen these things?
We got to stop that.
It's basically like a, I don't know, a cooler.
Yeah.
It looks like a cooler on wheels.
Yeah.
With little eyeballs.
Yeah. No legs yet, but that's probably coming. Mm-hmm. It's on wheels.
Yeah. So anyway, a woman named Kaya Riel lives in East Hollywood, and she's very upset telling television station KTLA about what happened. She heard a ruckus in her garden. When she came out to investigate, she was surprised to discover a Coco delivery robot struggling to free itself from her fence. So she found the Coco in her garden. It had gotten her fence caught up in its wheel, and it uprooted all of her plants and then just drove away with her fence still attached to it. I can only imagine the scene.
The thief.
Coco, the little robot, was tangled in a mess of fencing and foliage, but still managed to make its next delivery. She said she chased it down the street, looked like a crazy woman running after a robot in the middle of the street, yelling at it. What do you say to a robot? I mean, does the robot respond, or does the robot get defensive and, like, shoot you or tase you?
That's a good point. I mean, it's already got the fence. You're next.
The delivery robots have apparently been causing a number of problems wherever they are deployed in Chicago. They irked residents so bad that they've been functionally banned from certain sections in the city. In East Hollywood, KTLA reports that a Coco robot was caught charging headlong into an ambulance. Oh, geez. That's not good. You know, I can only imagine here in Memphis, because we don't, I don't, do they do the drone things here in Memphis?
I haven't used them. I don't really know if, I don't know who uses these. Maybe elderly people?
Yeah, I don't know. It's, all I can say, well, they'd shoot them down. And I mean, true. If they were drones, they would shoot them down in Memphis. But I can imagine in some parts of Memphis, if you used a Coco robot, I guarantee you it would be up on like blocks because somebody would steal the wheels.
For sure, yeah, yeah. These things seem very strong. To take a fence from someone's lawn, that takes some strength. And if you're only 50 pounds.
Poor lady, I mean.
Yeah, or lady, yeah.
Trailing all those rutabagas. By the way, I was watching, have you guys ever heard of someone named Brenda Gant? She does cooking videos on, I don't know, I'm on a new algorithm now. Cooking videos from Southern Grandmas, and Brenda Gant is her name. And she was showing us how to make homemade, home-fried, deep-fried okra. And I've had a hankering for okra.
It's a very Southern thing to want.
When I mentioned rutabagas, I just...
Yeah.
There you go.
Understandable.
All right. This story from the New York Post. 8 new emojis just dropped. Really? More? More? I don't know what to do with the ones we've already got. By the way, that one is not pudding. I did learn that.
Yeah. It's not used for that either.
No, it's
not. No one ever says pudding. No one even eats pudding.
A new batch of emojis coming to Apple products. This is the new iOS 26.4 update. I've got to get a new phone, by the way.
Yeah,
got to get a new phone. But apparently the emojis are causing some problems. The new emojis include distorted face, which kind of looks like Cash Patel. The eyes. It's the eyes.
They're like separated a little bit and very wide.
The other emojis, orca, a fight cloud, trombone, and hairy creature. The distorted face emoji has caused quite a stir on social media, giving fans deja vu. Many have already made the connection to the iPad Pro Crush ad, which has gotten a lot of backlash. Apple issued an. Why are they apologizing? I don't understand this.
It's an emoji.
Exactly.
No harm.
It looks like somebody who's like, it's an eye issue. You've got the lazy eye.
Yeah.
It looks like a lazy
eye. It does. I don't know who is going to be using this one. I might toss it in there. A few text messages from you, Todd. If you see it, don't get offended, I guess.
Yeah. Fans seem to be happy. I'm just trying to figure out who's upset about all of this.
Glad they finally added the trombone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Too many trumpet emojis.
Yeah, you know, I hear you. Yeah, I think there are a lot of trumpet players over at Meta HQ.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm a trumpet player. I like it. It's fine. Yeah.
There you go. All right. The problem is when somebody sends you one of these lazy eye emojis, it's like, you don't know where to look. Oh, no, over here. No, over here. It's all very confusing. Folks, 5 o'clock tonight, we're going to have the very latest on the attack in Michigan, also at Old Dominion. ToddStearns.com. Go check out all of our coverage, videos, a lot of content for you there. We're going to see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. You guys be good and safe, America.